Champlain Valley Game Night on 101.3 ESPN. Presented by the Windjammer Restaurant and Upper Deck Pub. Local, fresh, and Burlington's original steak and seafood restaurant. Now, here's your host, Brady Farkas.
What's up, everybody? Brady Farkas, Champlain Valley Game Night right here at 101.3 ESPN and 101.3ESPN.com. Also on the 101.3 ESPN app, all you have to do, go to the Apple Store or go to the Google Play Store. We are there as well. Full access to our website content and our podcasts as well. Scores and notes. Also, if you're using an Amazon Echo, you can just, I'll spell her name because if I say it, then if you have one, she's going to go off. So if you have Alexa, just ask her to stream WCPV and 101.3 ESPN, and we'll come on as well. So all kinds of ways to listen to us. We appreciate you however you are listening on this Monday. A short show going up until 6:30, and then Bruins hockey game 6 north of the border. They've taken on the Toronto Maple Leafs Bees with a 3-2 lead in that series, and they look to close out the Leafs in an original 6 matchup. If you want to get in, you can. 802-655-6672. Lots coming up this week on the show and on the station. Trivia night is tomorrow, 7:30 to 9:30, Burger Bar in Colchester. So come on out. We'll be watching all the big games. We'll have Celtics on in the NBA playoffs, Red Sox and Blue Jays on, Major League Baseball. We'll also be talking, focusing on the Yankees, the rest of the NBA, the rest of the NHL. Lots of stuff going on tomorrow at the Burger Bar in Colchester. UPS store for Carmichael Street in Essex, another remote, so looking forward to going out there. They treated us very well when we were out on the North Avenue location last week. I'm looking forward to that same treatment. Again, you should come out and hang out with us too. And they're doing all kinds of great raffles, giving away a Dakin Farms basket, so all kinds of cool stuff is happening there. Fun weekend for me. Hopefully you guys had a fun weekend too, as the weather finally started to turn. Yesterday was beautiful. Today is beautiful. Also, 73 it's listed at right now at our station. So I'm sure in most locations it's between 60 at the low end and 75 at the high end. It's absolutely perfect out. Fun weekend, as I said. Fun weekend because I got a chance on Saturday, go out to Plattsburgh and see my old teammates at Oswego. And Oswego won all 3 games of the series, and I'm disappointed for Coach Dory and his staff at Plattsburgh, who do a great job and who we've gotten to know really well. It was cool to see Oswego, and as we talked about on Friday, how far the program has come, and catch up with an old teammate of mine who came up with me, and also a former teammate of mine who's the assistant coach there. And you don't realize, as you get older, you don't realize just how good it feels to reconnect with people you haven't talked with in a while. I have a group of friends from high school who, you know, I like to think I talk with pretty religiously. I have a group of friends from college who I talk with a good amount, and then a lot of friends just kind of from random other places, whether it's here, whether it's home, or other places I've been, and we talk occasionally. But when you actually get to go and see somebody from your past and people that you probably don't talk to enough, and every time I see, you know, certain people, I realize, wow, we don't talk enough. We should start talking more. And that's how I felt this weekend, because it was just, you know, I sat there for 9 innings and I talked with a former teammate of mine who we shared a lot of memories. And then between games, we went right over and we talked to the assistant coach. And it's just like, man, we should be doing this more often, because these friendships meant a lot to you growing up and meant a lot to you at a time in your life when you were developing. And, you know, from 18 to 22 years old, a lot of these guys, these two were, you know, some of my really good buddies. And it makes me realize every time that we should be doing that more often. And I talked about this a couple weeks ago. Just as you get older, you start to, you know, your friend group, it starts to really, really kind of dwindle. And it really starts to kind of separate itself. And I don't like that. Partially because I have a career where I'm always on my phone. I'm always researching things. I'm always texting guests. I'm always responding to guests. I'm talking to other hosts in other places. Just all kinds of stuff. And I'm always on my phone, so I always feel like I'm easily accessible, and I always feel like I'm able to reach out. So I get frustrated when it doesn't always go that way for other people. And this was this weekend was great. Great reminder and a great chance to be able to catch up with some people that I hadn't talked to in a while, and it just reminds me to keep those relationships strong. So a lot of fun seeing Oswego, seeing what the program has become. Fun talking to Coach Dory at Plattsburgh. I did go over and say hi to him also and see his staff. So they do great things over there as well. Field was immaculate, even despite the bad weather. So great job over the Plattsburgh staff, coaching staff, athletic department, grounds crew, whoever's working on that field. It was great. So that was an absolute blast to be able to see those guys. And yesterday, I got out on the baseball field as well, and I started playing in the Green Mountain Baseball League. And if any of you guys play in the Green Mountain Baseball League, you can get in 802-655-6672. So long story short, I have played summer baseball in Albany for the last 9 years, and I spent 4 years playing in the Albany Twilight League, which is the oldest men's league in the country, basically. It's a very good league, and I played in it predominantly for probably 3 years. I was in it for five, but played in it for 3 years really heavily. And then I also played in what's essentially the Green Mountain Baseball League, but in Albany. And I played in that for probably 5 or 6 years. And I double-dipped a little bit in others, but nonetheless. I actually commuted back and forth to Albany last summer just because I liked the team I was on. I liked the guys. I had a good role. We were good. Wanted to help them win a title. Didn't want to leave them shorthanded. All of the above. This year, I decided I couldn't do it. I decided I needed a place to play that was more local. And it was okay. Those guys picked up some other guys. I wasn't needed as much, despite the fact that I had played pretty well for them for the last bunch of years and helped them, you know, won three titles we had won. So I'm playing up here now with the Burlington Expos, and that's going to be a blast. You know, I had a lot of fun getting out there yesterday. Got a chance to throw. Some muscles are sore today that haven't been used in a couple months, but a chance to throw, a chance to get out there, a lot of fun. So if I'm going to see any of you out on the field, whether you play, you know, playing against me, let me know, 802-655-6672. And if you've played in the Green Mountain Baseball League, what can I expect? What's the competition like? What are the fields like? Are the umpires awful? What am I going to get to bat? What am I going to expect? And looking forward to that as well. So a good weekend overall. What's coming up today on the show? Short show again, Bruins hockey 6:30. More on if the Giants should trade Eric Flowers. Some notes on Sean Manea's no-hitter for the A's against the Red Sox. But first, the Patriots are linked to Lamar Jackson, quarterback at Louisville, former Heisman Trophy winner. I am not sold on them taking Lamar Jackson. I certainly don't want them to trade up. I'm not sold on them taking Lamar Jackson, and I spent a lot of the weekend trying to figure out why. Brady, why are you doubting Lamar Jackson? Now, I also doubt Josh Rosen. I also doubt Baker Mayfield. I think I like Sam Darnold's chances to be good. And I doubt Josh Allen. So I think I am generally a cynic. But why am I a cynic about Lamar Jackson? And I really started thinking about it because I went and I really looked at his stats. Lamar Jackson helped Louisville, a program that I don't think of as a football power. He helped put them in a position to be talked about for major bowl games. He won a Heisman Trophy, so why was I doubting him? Why am I doubting him? I went and I looked at his stats, and something really stuck out to me. Lamar Jackson ran 655 times in 3 years. He had 655 rushes in 3 years. 163 1 year, 260 another year, 232 in this past season. 3 years, 655 rushes. 3 years, 200-plus average per year. And I started thinking to myself, that the skepticism just comes from that formula is really hard to break. Your instinct kicks in, and that is Lamar Jackson's instinct. And you can coach up a lot of things in players, but instinct isn't one of them. Confidence in a skill isn't one of them. Think of it this way. I've told you this before. I had a really good changeup, and I wanted to use that changeup all the time. First inning, leadoff batter, didn't matter. In pitching coaches' mind, perfect chances, this is how pitching coaches look at things. First time through the order, we're going to try to get him out with fastball. Second time through the order, it's going to be your first pitch and your second pitch. Third time through the order, it's going to be fastball and a curveball. That way, you never get into a pattern. I always fell back into that changeup because I knew it was good. I knew I had confidence in it. Think about this. A three-point shooter, you can work on driving all you want, but a guy who's a great shooter who has confidence in his ability to shoot, he's going to revert back to that. He's going to want to take the jumper rather than go to the hole. That's just the way people are. You have a skill, and no matter how much you work on something, no matter how much you coach something up, human nature is to fall back into what you're good in. Lamar Jackson is a dynamic athlete, and it was good enough to win him a Heisman Trophy. But I don't know that I think I can coach the running instinct out of him. And that is not how quarterback is played in the NFL religiously. Look at Cam Newton. Cam Newton, I'll give you some other stats here. Lamar Jackson ran a lot more than a lot of these guys. These guys that we consider running quarterbacks in the NFL, Michael Vick played 2 years at Virginia Tech. He ran 131 times 1 year and 104 the next. Both of those are massively less than Lamar Jackson. Again, Lamar Jackson, 163, 260, 232. Those are his rush attempts per season. Michael Vick went 131 and 104. Far less. Far less per year. Running quarterback. Russell Wilson, a guy who is having to run for his life a lot in the NFL, he played 4 years of college football and ran more than 200 times less than Lamar Jackson did in three. Johnny Manziel ran less than Lamar Jackson. Okay? Tim Tebow ran a little bit more than Jackson, but he had a full extra year. What is this telling me? Why were those guys so special in college? What they did was largely design, run, and improvisational greatness because of their athleticism. If improv is your best offense in the NFL, then you're probably going to have a problem. And I know this from experience. I look at the Seahawks. Russell Wilson is great. He is a magician and a wizard. But because of that offensive line, he's forced to do that. He can't make plays from the pocket. And the Seahawks are hoping, essentially, that the pocket's going to break down, Wilson's going to scramble out and save them. That's not an offense. And I start to just wonder about Lamar Jackson. Are his instincts going to kick in? And he's going to be a guy who just wants to run and create. You can't do that for very long in the NFL and be successful. I mentioned Cam Newton. He ran 264 times in his 1 year at Auburn. That was more than any number I just gave you about Lamar Jackson. Cam Newton ran more than Lamar Jackson did. And what have we said about Cam? To this day, the Panthers are trying to keep him safe. They're trying to save Cam from himself. They're trying to limit the number of runs. They want him to become a better pocket passer. It hasn't happened. You can't coach the instinct out of players. So it's not, I think, my skepticism about Lamar Jackson doesn't come from a place of, I think Lamar Jackson is bad. It's that I wonder if you can coach Lamar Jackson into wanting to be a pocket passer. Or is he always going to revert to being a scrambler who just tries to improv plays? Because that is fun and flashy for a little while. It is not sustainable, and teams don't want it to be sustainable. Teams don't want that. If you want to get in, 802-655-6672. If the Patriots draft Lamar Jackson at some point over the weekend, I'm okay with it. But I think that's where my skepticism comes from. I don't ever trust that he's going to go first read, second read, third read, get rid of the ball. I have a fear that like Michael Vick, that like Johnny Manziel, it's one read, and then I'm taking off because that's what I've done well. And, yeah, he's big. He's 6'3". He can take a hit better than Johnny Manziel can. That is absolutely sure. But Cam Newton has taken a lot of unnecessary hits in his time in the NFL to the point where the Panthers are trying to get him to stop running because they want to can keep his career going. I worry about Lamar Jackson in that regard. It's not that Lamar Jackson's bad. It's that I just don't know if you can coach instinct out of players. And that is where my worry comes from. if I'm a Patriot fan. Champlain Valley Game Night on 101.3 ESPN at 101.3ESPN.com. And then remember this also. I mean, Lamar Jackson was a 57% passer in his career. 57% passer. So if you do coach the instinct out of him, if you're able to do that and you can keep him safe, well, what about just his ability to be an effective pocket passer? I mean, get these numbers. Lamar Jackson, 57% in his career. Russell Wilson in college was 60. So he wasn't great, but he was better. Cam was 66%. For as bad a passer as Cam is in the NFL at times, he was 66% in that 1 year at Auburn. Johnny Manziel was 70% playing in the same spread offense that Lamar Jackson is, and Lamar Jackson is only at 57. So if I take away the running to keep him safe, is that passing, is that completion percentage going to develop at a rate that makes him effective when I try to take away his legs? I don't know. All right, more on the Giants here. If I can trade Eric Flowers, I would do so in a heartbeat. And Giant fans can get in also on the Town Fair Tire text line, because I know you're frustrated with Eric Flowers' performance on the field. This was a guy who was a first-round pick a few years ago. He played in 2015, 16, and 17, so he's a first-round pick in the 2015 draft. I would trade him in a heartbeat if I could at the draft. He's been a bust. He has been unwilling to kind of play ball with the organization. And I go back to what I said the first day of OTAs. Eric Flowers elected not to show up to the first day of OTAs. All the bad stuff that had happened under Ben McAdoo and under the final year of Tom Coughlin, with Flowers not playing well, Dave Gettleman and Pat Shurmur were going to throw it under the bridge and say start new. He said no. And when they signed Nate Solder, they called him and said, you won't start at left tackle because Solder is. We'll give you a chance to start on the right side. And he basically said, screw you. That's not good enough. And he made a selfish decision for himself. He stayed home. With a new coach and a new organization, and it's a little bit of adversity, this guy folded. And offensive line is a premier position in the NFL. And you don't just give away guys who have NFL experience, as Arnie said. I'd give him away. Sixth-round pick. If you give me a sixth-round pick, I will give you Eric Flowers. You can bet on his potential because I think it's there. 23 years old, going to be his fourth year in the NFL. You can be the recipient of it clicking. Give me something, because he's not going to weigh down my locker room as I try to change cultures. And that's what New York's doing. I don't think the Giants are competing next year for a division title. I think maybe they win between 6 and 8 games. I think that's possible with their schedule. 6 and 8 games, maybe they can win. But you're not going to weigh me down. Eric Flowers he's going into the final year of his rookie contract. He's got a club option at $13 million. The Giants aren't picking that up. So this is his last year, essentially, in New York, and he'll be a free agent at the end of the year. So he's going to walk anyways, because chances are I'm not going to want him back, and chances are he's not going to want to be back. So if I'm going to lose him after the year and I'm not going to compete this year, then I might as well just trade him. Give me something for him. Sixth round pick, fine. You can have him. You can bet on his potential, but this guy's not going to weigh down my locker room. He's not going to do it. Eric Flowers is not. I always say this. How good you are dictates how big a distraction you can be. Eric Flowers hasn't been good enough to be that distraction. Doesn't show up to OTAs when nearly the whole... He was the only member of the team that wasn't there. That says something. It's sending you a message. So, some other team can take Eric Flowers. I'll take a sixth-round pick, and I'll start to build a culture that Dave Gettleman and Pat Shurmur are talking about. Champlain Valley Game Night, 101.3 ESPN and 101.3ESPN.com. Again, you can also get in 802-655-6672. Chris, the Mets fan. Brady, who are you playing for in the Green Mountain League? I'm going to play for the Burlington Expos. So I met those guys yesterday and went out and practiced with them and threw a bullpen and played some catch and got to meet the guys. So, yeah, Chris, let me know if you're playing in the Green Mountain League or if you've played before, because I'd love your opinion on it as well. You know, I didn't make much of Gronk over the weekend, but the more that's come out, the more I've read about it, the more I've changed my tune. Gronk He was out of bounds. He was out of bounds this weekend. He was at Gillette Stadium as part of a Monster Energy Supercross event, basically saying that he didn't know if he was coming back, and he said, why would he? He's got dirt biking things to work on, and that's all sponsorship-driven. I get it. But, and I don't think the fans care. They look at it as Gronk being Gronk, and they look at it as it's voluntary workouts. Who cares? If I were his teammates and if I were the coaching staff, I'd be ticked. He's a two-year captain now. This isn't the same Gronk from 6 years ago. This is a two-time captain. This is a leader on this team basically saying that he doesn't need what those guys are doing. Now, if him and Belichick have beef, that's one thing. But for him to insult his teammates like that, for strength and conditioning coaches, and say that, you know, laugh off off-season workouts, that's a bad look. Poor reflection on Gronk, and I don't know that he regrets it. I hope that he does. I don't know that he will. I don't know that he ever will. But you're a leader on this team, whether you like it or not. You're a veteran and a leader on this team, and you elected to basically say that what your teammates were doing was not anything that you needed. I think a lot of people would stand with Gronk if he had just shut his mouth and just kind of let the offseason play out. A lot of people would have been, you know what? He does deserve to be paid more. You know what? Belichick is tough to play for. I think where you lose some of your teammates and lose some of the organization is when you go out and publicly say and make a mockery of the OTA process, which maybe you don't take it seriously, but your teammates are taking it seriously right now. Your teammates that want to get back to the Super Bowl and win it this time. Your teammates that want to play well so they can get a big contract. They're taking it seriously. They didn't need to hear that you didn't. Champlain Valley Game Night, 101.3 ESPN and 101.3ESPN.com. Matt in St. Albans, as a Giants fan, you trade flowers for a cooler full of Gatorade and a box of athletic tape. I think you're overplaying. And now we're switching up here. I think you're overplaying the instincts in a number of rushes with Jackson. His completion percentage is better than Josh Allen. And more importantly, a huge number of those rushes were planned plays, not scrambles. Another unnamed texter, Pats fans want Gronk traded. Trust me, many Pats fans hate their job boss but suck it up every day. Trade him. Interesting stuff. And that's where we leave it for today. Maybe we'll get into some of that tomorrow. Bruins hockey coming up next. They're looking to close out the Maple Leafs. This has been Champlain Valley Game Night. So for Rich and Arnie in the huddle, for intern Nathan, I'm Brady. We'll see you tomorrow, everybody. Thanks to Dale Murphy and Bob Soshi for joining us. You can find those interviews online. 101.3 ESPN. Bruins hockey versus the Leafs next.